Well, thank you, my dear. Like I said, yesterday was our anniversary, 17 years. Praise God. Getting married is easy. Staying married isn't sometimes. But praise God, he's faithful and he always helps us along the way. My name is Chris Martinez. My wife and I, along with some others, have come here and we've planted Lakeside Church. So if you're visiting today, we'd love and very happy that you're here. But we are doing a message series right now on walking in the Spirit. When you came in, you should have got a little insert in your worship guide, which has some things on there, and mine is folded up in my pocket. So I'm going to pull it out, and there's a word on there. It says, on the bottom, it says walk. And so I took that, and I'm kind of making that kind of the framework of this message series. And so the W, that was about wonder. And there's a lot of questions we have about God. If you serve a God that you can fully understand, you're probably serving the wrong God. Because he is just way bigger and above than we are. His ways are higher than ours. And so we talked about wonder, and we talked about how do we know that God is for us, and how do we know God's plan, and how the Holy Spirit, like why even talk about the Holy Spirit? We wonder that sometimes. And the Holy Spirit from the womb when Jesus was conceived up until the tomb where he was raised from the dead, and everything in between, the Holy Spirit was essential to the purposes of God. He's essential to God's plan for your life. He gives you the path that God wants you to walk on. Like if you don't know where to go, like the Holy Spirit will show you. We had somebody show up today to help us set up. So number one, praise God. But he's been showing up for a few weeks, and he came and somebody asked him, like, so what are you doing here? He says, I'm just doing what I can, doing what I know to do. And the Holy Spirit will show you that. And so he puts you on the path, and he gives you this power to accomplish whatever his plan is. And so the Holy Spirit is good. But today we're going to talk about the A. And the A is for the word adventure. Adventure. Because I think walking with God should be an adventure. In fact, your very first point on the back, it says, if walking with Jesus isn't an adventure, you're doing it wrong. Like, I don't know if you're following him. Because the Lord I know, like when he walked this earth, it was an adventure. He walked up to his disciples and he said, hey, come and follow me. And their lives were never the same. Completely transformed, led them into things. Man, if you think about it, took these fishermen and turned them into world changers. And I think that's the same God we can still serve today. Sometimes we don't follow him. Sometimes we don't. Sometimes we want to add them into our lives. In other words, we want to keep doing what we're doing and just invite Jesus along. We want to say, Jesus, come into my life. Just walk with me. And Jesus' whole way of living is, no, you walk with me. It's not about you anymore. It's about me. And that's life-changing. And it's always an adventure. And I think serving God should be fun. And if you look at the word adventure and you get out your dictionary, it comes out, three words come across in a lot of the definitions. You know, there's multiple definitions, and the words are risk, danger, and loss. If you're not risking anything, if there's no danger, and if there's not a chance that you can suffer loss, that's not an adventure. Think of all the adventure movies. There's always something dangerous going on. Right now, you have no idea how dangerous worship was. There's a giant hole on both sides of this stage, and these up here took it like a champ. All right, I'm like, you just can't move. And they're like, we can't close our eyes today, can we? We're like, no, do not close your eyes, because there's big holes on both sides of the stage, because they're doing an orchestra pit. They have a whole set here for their thing, and so we can't close that up today. So it's an adventure. Following God, there's always a chance that you should risk something and that you might lose something. The second point on there, it says adventure comes, I think this is true, from being gospel-driven, Jesus-centered, and Spirit-filled. Like, I don't know about you, but the gospel has changed my life. Like, the fact that the work of Christ is done on the cross, like, that meant something to me. If I believe that he is the one who died and rose for me, then I'm going to live my life centered on Jesus. Not church. Not religion. But Jesus Christ. In fact, I've shared this before. When I came to Christ, it wasn't in the church. It was at home. Like, I couldn't, there was, n- I couldn't go to church. It just wasn't for me. And so when I came to him, I said, all right, I'm going to serve you, Jesus. I'm going to follow you. I believe what you did on the cross. Then my next reaction was, yes, I'll go to church. Because, like, that's what a Christian should do. Like, I knew at least that much. So I went and I found myself a church. And I remember walking into church the first time, and it was similar this morning, where these people, I walked in, and it was unlike anything I've ever heard, where people were singing to God. Like, this little church that I walked in on, like, it wasn't about religion and it wasn't about show, and they were all messed up. This was a church full of, like, ex-addicts and people that were just messed up and people who were about to get divorced but God saved them, and former atheists. And, like, we had this one guy. In fact, I might invite him here. We had the joke that he kept getting younger. And the reason was because for, like, 30 years he lived in the Everglades homeless. And he was a crack addict, but then God visited him out there in the Everglades, and he gets saved, and he gets into recovery, and he was the only guy that every year he got younger as his body started to get the nutrients and the proper amount of sleep, and the Spirit of God was upon him, and his face would look younger every year, and we'd be like, you're the only one of us that gets younger, because God was restoring him. And in fact, he wound up being one of the coolest missionaries we know, because he had lived on the streets so long, he wasn't afraid of anything. So he goes to, like, Colombia, and he goes to, like, the parts of the world that you're not really supposed to go. And the cool thing was, is he goes on his own dime. He started cutting trees. He wound up getting his own business. The gospel brought restoration into him. But his life is the biggest adventure you'll ever know. And I'm going to try to invite him here one day. But he'll be in India, or not India, he'll be in Colombia, he'll be in Peru, Ecuador, Cuba, places you're not supposed to go. And it's like, I'm like, they must think you're CIA or something, man, because he walks in there and he looks rough, and he goes there and he preaches the gospel. And my thing is, if this guy who was in the Everglades, and he'll tell you his testimony, sleeping in a bathtub in the Everglades, if he can encounter Christ and in a few years become a missionary who owns his own business and shares the gospel and feeds children all over the world, like, that's fun. That's not inviting Jesus into your life. Like, that's what we want to do. We want to say, Jesus, come into my life, and we want to sit in our little bathtub and just have Jesus in there with us and keep doing our own little thing. And Jesus is saying, no, come into my life. Walk in what I have for you. And, like, that is what God has done for me. And, like, that's the only thing I know that works is when you go into Christ's life, then things become an adventure. Monday, I got a phone call. We have a church cell phone, and it rings to me, praise God. And it's pink, because that was a case that we had that was free. And it was my wife's old case. And so we put it on the phone. And so it rings to me. And I pick it up Monday. And somebody asking the church, because they just see the number on the website, they're asking the church to pay some money to them. So I answer and I say, well, look, we're a brand new church. We're not opposed to that. But we haven't done that yet. We haven't done benevolence that way yet. We've helped people. We've supported organizations. We've given money to do things. I said, but I'm not sure we're ready to do this, because you do that and it opens some things up. I said, but you know what? I'm going to pray about it. And I said, maybe me personally, or maybe, you know, maybe the church will do something, but I'll call you back later. And I went to work. So I'm sitting there. And have you ever seen the Hulk movies? Like the Hulk, when the Hulk, and if you don't know the story of the Hulk is just a regular guy, but when he gets mad, he turns into the Hulk. And so the whole kind of deal with him is he's trying to keep himself from getting mad so that he doesn't turn into the Hulk and destroy things. And one day they ask him, and they say, like, well, what's your secret? How did you finally learn how to do this? And he looks at them and he says, I'm always mad. Well, Chris always is cynical. Chris always trusts no one. Chris always thinks you have an angle and you're trying to work me over, and Chris trusts no one. So what's your secret? Chris thinks everybody's full of it. Chris thinks everybody's lying. Chris thinks everybody's got some kind of ulterior motive. And so Chris trusts no one. That's it. So Chris gets the phone call, and I go to, I've been in churches before where I've worked in church offices full time. People scam churches. It's okay. We still love them. So I got this, and I was pretty sure this guy wasn't getting anything from the church because we just weren't there yet. And I was pretty sure he wasn't getting anything from me, but I brought it before the Lord. I'm like, all right, Lord, if this is, you know, something you want to do, then we could do this. This guy, a very nice gentleman, took me out to lunch Monday, and he messed me up. Because he took me out to lunch, and he bought me lunch, which I thought was cool, because normally I try to pay. And then he wound up giving me money. He said, this is for you, not the church. And I was like, well, crap, now I don't have an excuse. Because he gave me a little bit of money. And I took a little bit of that money, and I said, all right, well, now I can help this man out. Fully aware that there's a good chance that it's not a legitimate situation, that there's some addictions. And so I went through it, agreed to meet him where he was at in the hood, went after work to a bad part of town. But I mean, and like I grew up in Miami, so I'm like, I'm going to put my wallet and hide it in my car. I mean, like I knew I could get robbed right now. Like there was nothing in me that said this is a safe thing to do. There was nothing in me that said this was smart. There was nothing in me that said, like, I'm doing a world-changing thing. But there was something in me that said, all right, Lord, this is a little bit strange that I got a little bit of money today. I can do something, but, Father, I need your Holy Spirit. And so I prayed, and I invited the Holy Spirit to come, and I said, God, speak to me something for this man. So I got two words, and I got two things that I felt God put on my heart to deliver this guy. And I walked into the bad part of town, just me, nothing special, hid my wallet, hid everything in the car because I don't like to get robbed, all right? Took just what I was going to give. And I walk over there, and I said, you know what? I don't know you, but here you go. This is what I'm going to do. I can't do everything you want, but this is what I can do. He came with a list like this. I said, no, I can do this and this, which is something. And I said, but I want to tell you these two things. Number one, God says, and I really feel this, and you can tell me if I'm wrong, God says that, I believe God spoke to me. This is how I said, I believe God spoke to me that you used to know him and you used to have a relationship. And number two, you're not walking with him anymore and you need to stop loving the world. People don't talk to you that way normally. And I just was real honest. I'm like, you know what? You're probably scamming me. But that's okay, because I just knew what this was. And I'm not judging you, because I know if you get to this position where you're scamming churches, you're not happy. And we had a soul-level conversation that brings the man to tears. I said, and you're probably going to get nothing from me again. I just want you to know that. Because the church isn't going to do this, because we're not ready. And me and my wife, I have to pay my bills, so I don't have any extra. However, the reason this is happening now is because somebody felt led to give me a little bit of extra money. So I've come here because I think this is a divine moment. And I shared the gospel with him right there. And I said, I want you to know, I want you to see how things lined up, because there was a good chance you were getting nothing. And it's not, and even if you're scamming me, it's okay. And I talked about how God values him. How your value is determined by what somebody will pay for you. You can see tons of ugly pieces of art that are worth millions of dollars. In my opinion, they're ugly. But somebody has determined that they're worth millions of dollars because they will pay millions of dollars for them. And I said, for you, you may feel like you are valueless, because that's where the conversation came to, that he had no value. He felt worthless. And I said, you may feel like you're worthless, but your worth is determined by the price that was paid. And there is no greater price than the blood of God's Son that was paid for you right now. And you are not worthless. And God looked at you right now, and he ordained this time for you to know that he loves you right where you are. And I love you. Like, I'm here because I believe this Jesus stuff is true. And I went and shared how I was an addict, how I had addictions, and how Christ brought me out of that. And it was powerful. It's an adventure. I don't know when the last time you went to the hood and met somebody you didn't know, and we're pretty sure there's a good chance you could get robbed. But I will go. Like, I'm not afraid. I'm not stupid, but I'm not afraid. And that's the thing, is like, is how are you doing this? You know, nobody takes advantage of me. You want to know why nobody takes advantage of me? Because I give my advantage away. Choice has already been made. I will take the lowest seat. I will serve. I will give. I will love. The choice has already been made. People can try to take advantage, but the choice is made. And so that was a very special moment. I want to encourage you to go on an adventure with Jesus Christ. Have some fun with Jesus. There is nothing better than being right where God wants you to be, right when he wants you to be there. This walking in the Spirit should be an adventure. The next point that is on there is adventures are more fun with someone. The Lone Ranger Tonto, you always got to have a sidekick. You always got to have a partner. You always got to have community. Our small group has been amazing. We just started small groups up. We've had some people come in. We're getting to know each other. Like, small groups are important. Community is important. The people that we're getting to know as we come and we serve here and set up and tear down. Like, adventures are fun with someone. My wife and I, like, we were known, like, some of our first dates were, like, going into a trailer park and sharing the gospel with a waitress we met at Denny's. Like, I remember that. Like, it's trailer park. I don't know if you've ever been in a trailer that has, like, a queen-size mattress and, like, the space between the wall and the mattress is like this. And me and my wife and a friend were sitting there with the waitress at Denny's in her trailer park just sharing the gospel of Jesus Christ. And it was one of the most amazing times ever. Like, that was our first dates. Those were the kind of things we did when we met. Like, we are all into this stuff. But sitting there sharing the gospel in some random trailer park with some random person we never met before, and just how we would each talk and then shut up, and then the next person would talk, and the gospel was made so clear. And I don't know if you've ever had those moments where you're like, man, did I just say that? That was cool. And leading her to Christ and sharing Christ with her, like, that is fun. And so some of you are looking at me saying, I don't want that kind of adventure. Well, that's all right. I do. I want to go for the lost sheep. I want to go, whether it's a high-rise apartment building or to the lowest part of town, I want to share the gospel of Jesus Christ. And it's always more fun to go with someone. See, when we did, eventually after that stage, we became youth pastors. And so we had a gym, and we'd invite tons of kids into the gym. And I was always, it was me and there was another guy, D, Pastor D. We were the pastors there at this church, and we'd have like 100, 150 kids show up. And we'd play these football games with like 30 on 30. Like, we'd get so many kids playing football at the same time. It was crazy. And each of us would be the quarterback of the opposing team. And we always gave everyone the ball. Like, we made it a point. You'd have some guys that were just studs. You know how it is when you have a stud? He's just faster, stronger, bigger. Like, you want to get him the ball. Well, we'd get him the ball, and we'd get the kid that you knew wasn't going to catch the ball, and we'd figure out a way to get him the ball. And we'd always give every single one of them a chance to play. And that's how it is with Christ. Everyone gets to play, which brings us to point number four, is everyone gets to play. Everyone gets to play. Like, it was just so much fun, and that's how it was. We would make sure every single person on the field got a chance to touch the ball, got a chance to run with the ball. And you know what? Some of the ones that wanted to be superstars, they get frustrated because they're like, man, give me the ball. But we'd find a way to get the littlest one engaged. And some of you might be here today and you feel like the littlest. You feel like you don't have anything to offer God. And you are probably in the best place you can be. Because we have nothing to offer God except for everything we have. And sometimes it's not enough. So let's go to the scripture that I've had for today. It's Acts chapter 9, verse 10. And we're going to read something. And it just highlights this point, is that everyone gets to play. And it's on your paper. You can turn to Acts chapter 9, verses 10 through 19. It says, now there was a disciple. That is the best thing that you can be called, a disciple. Forget titles, forget labels, but if you can just be a disciple. This is one of my favorite stories in the scripture, and it starts out with that descriptive term. It says there was just a disciple. There was just a Jesus follower. There was just one of the Jesus people there. Somebody that loved Christ, that was committed to him. He's just a disciple. He wasn't an apostle so-and-so. He wasn't a prophet. He wasn't the biggest. He wasn't the baddest. He was just a disciple. Like, that is what we need to be. When Jesus looks at you, is can he say, there he was in Lexington or in West Columbia or in Irmo, a disciple? Because you see this, just a disciple. Just what we would call almost a regular person, almost a nobody, a disciple, but you're never a nobody in Christ. A disciple named Ananias. And the Lord said to him in a vision, Ananias, and he said, here I am, Lord. That's the attitude of a disciple. The Lord speaks, you say, let's do it. The Lord leads, and you say, let's go. And the Lord said to him, rise and go to the street called Straight at the house of Judas and look for a man of Tarsus named Saul. For behold, he is praying. And he has seen in a vision a man named Ananias come in and lay his hands on him so that he might regain his sight. But Ananias answered, Lord, I have heard from many about this man and how much evil he has done to your saints at Jerusalem. And here he has authority from the chief priests to bind who are call on your name. Verse 15, but the Lord said to him, go, for he is a chosen instrument of mine, and I will show him how much things he must suffer. That's a real good comforting word. I'm going to show him how much he's going to suffer. When God calls a man, a lot of times he says, come and die. But I want you to get the backstory for this, because there's just a disciple, Ananias. But on the other side, there is the one who is breathing out murderous threats, the one who is against the church of God, the biggest adversary that the church has, a man named Saul of Tarsus. And he's actually gotten permission to legally go around and to arrest the Christians, confiscate their property, and put them in jail. Legally allowed to do this. And so he's traveling around, and I believe that the Christians took Jesus at his word and they were praying for their enemy. I believe that their people were praying for the apostle, or for the soon to be Apostle Paul. But Saul is traveling around and he gets knocked off his horse. He was on a horse. And he went blind for a time. And then it goes to this story about a disciple, Ananias. Now, Ananias, just a regular guy. But he has a communion with the Lord. He has this relationship with God, and God speaks to him and says, go. And Ananias is real. He's like, but God, he's dangerous. That's not safe. Like, and think about that depth where you can know God like that, where you can actually know God well enough, and you could say, are you sure? Like, I don't think he was being disrespectful. I think it just speaks to the depth of their relationship that he knew God, and God obviously knows everything, but it was kind of one of those things like, really? Him? He's dangerous. And God says, go. Go. And so he obeys and he goes. And if you read in that story, it says that while Ananias was getting this direction, was getting called on this adventure where he didn't know how this was going to turn out, it says Saul was praying. And so when God sends you on an adventure, like, he's preparing you for success. He really is. Like, God wants you to be successful. And I'm not just talking about, like, successful, count your bank account. Like, I'm all for God blessing you. I think that God wants people to be blessed, but he wants you to be successful in his kingdom. He wants you to be a successful light, a successful witness, a successful believer. I mean, there's something good. That moment I had Monday afternoon, I'm not bragging about it because it wasn't the smartest thing to do. But there came something in me as I'm driving over there, and I'm like, God, I just got to share the gospel, and if paying for this dumb hotel room gives me an excuse to preach the gospel to this guy, let's do it. Whatever it takes. And to go there and to share the gospel and to see God begin to work in his heart, there's nothing greater. There's nothing greater than being right where God is. And Ananias got to experience that. He goes there. He meets the murderer, the one breathing out murderous threats. And verse 17, so he departed and entered the house. And laying his hands on him, he said, "Brother Saul, the Lord Jesus who appeared to you on the road by which you came has sent me to you that you may receive your sight and be filled with the Holy Spirit." Verse 18, and immediately something like scales fell from his eyes, and he regained his sight. And he arose and was baptized. Taking food, he was strengthened. And immediately, it goes on in the Bible, that he went out and began to preach the word of the Lord. Something like scales. Something like scales. Something like what was on the serpent. Something that was on the father of lies that had blinded his eyes. The religion that had blinded Saul. Everything that kept him from seeing clearly came clearly off in Christ. And when you go in the power of Christ, like, it is much more effective than going without the power of Christ. When you walk in the Spirit and are right where God wants you to be, it is an effective journey, an adventure, and it is a lot of fun. I shared this story before, and I will share it again because I know there's some people that probably have not heard it. But right after I got saved, in fact, one of the first times probably her and I were together, I used to take her and her brothers and a whole bunch of other kids to church. And so on a Wednesday night, back when we had church on Wednesday night, I dropped them off. And I lived in the part of Miami where it was dark and there were avocado groves and tomato fields. And driving back home on a Wednesday night, probably like 9:30, 10 o'clock by the time I get back there. I don't know the exact time, but I'm driving. And there's this lady who I was, 17. So for me, it was a lady. She was probably in her early 20s or mid-20s. And an older lady, in my opinion, when you're 17, somebody in their mid-20s is an older person. Now I'm like, no, not that old. And so she's sitting there, and I feel God put something on my heart, and something said, go tell her I love her. And so no, that's crazy. I'm not doing that. That's wild. And so I kept driving for at least another half mile. But it wouldn't stop, man. Like, my heart is racing. My chest is beating. I'm, like, sweating. And I'm like, oh, God, I got to do this. This is not good. I might be nuts. And so I turn the car around, and I stop, and I park far enough away where she knows I'm not being threatening. And I get out of the car. I said, my name's Chris. What's yours? She said, my name's Faith. And I said, well, Faith, I think God wants you to know that he loves you. And I've said that before, and I love to tell the story, because she started breaking down crying, sobbing deep in her chest. She's just heart like, huh. And so I'm walking slowly over to her. She's like, you're never going to believe this. I was like, try me. I just stopped my car. You know what I'm saying? Like, let's just see where this goes. And she says, I was just looking up at the stars, got in a fight with my boyfriend, broke things in the apartment, trashed everything, left the city part of Miami, looking up at the stars and just saying, God, if you really love me and you're really true, like they say it, prove it. A few minutes later, I showed up, shared that word. She's sobbing. I'm crying. Sit there for 2 hours. Check up on her over the week. She gets in church. It wasn't my church. It's not about my church. It's about what God is doing in people's lives. And that's one of the coolest things that could ever happen. Lord, more of that, because that's cool. That's under the power of the Holy Spirit, what God can do. A few weeks later, I was at a gas station. Saw this lady about the same age, crying, sitting on the curb. No leading from the Lord, but I was like, I know what to do. Hey, guess what? She looks up through the tears. God loves you. She cursed me about 5 different ways. She did not want to hear it, and I was like, huh, okay. Well, he still loves you, but I'm going to walk away now. This is not how it's supposed to happen, because there's not a formula. There's not a formula. There's a walking in the Spirit. There's a being led as God leads you. There's something special. I mean, like, it's not a formula. Yes. Does God love everybody at every moment? I believe he does. Is that a true statement no matter what? Yes. Can you say it? Did I lose? Was I wrong? No. But that's the difference between just sharing truth and sharing truth empowered by the Holy Spirit. You can share truth all day long, and it is good. But there are times that God puts you in the right place at the right time, and something's different about it. I don't know what it is. I don't know how it works, and I can't make it happen. But I know that the Holy Spirit will do that. And so that is good. I think we're on number five right now. Adventure means taking the church to your city, not inviting the city to your church. I don't know a truer statement. Or taking the gospel to your city. Taking the gospel to your city. I don't know. Let's stop playing church and let's be the church. Let's stop. I mean, do you think about this. Jesus tells his disciples, go into all the world and make disciples of all nations. And then church pastors tell their churches, just invite them in here. That's all you got to do is invite them in here. We have it backwards. Is it good to invite people to church? Yes. Not speaking negatively, but let's put it in the right order. It's better to get the church out of the building. It's better to get the church to scatter the seed. The early church, one of the biggest problems they had is things were so good in Jerusalem. If you read the early church, they were so good in Jerusalem, and everybody was sharing, and everybody was in the apostles' teaching, and the early church was just such a special time. Go and read the book of Acts, first couple of chapters. Eventually, there had to come a little, or I don't know if it had to came, but it came a little persecution where they had to be scattered out. Because Jesus says, go into all the world. And sometimes church gets so fun, and we start to love each other so much that we forget that God has called us to go out. That's what he told Ananias. He said, go. He didn't say, wait in your house, Ananias, and I'm going to bring Paul to you, and you just take care of him. He said, no, you go. You put yourself out. There was one of the first guys we met, he was an old retired Army sergeant, and just kind of hard, kind of, you could tell he'd seen some stuff, and, you know, loved the Lord, but not all right up top, okay? Great guy. I love him to death. His name is Robert. But Robert, apparently I impressed him when I was young, because we went on a mission trip to Mexico City, and the only way I could go was I had to get a ticket different from everybody else's. So the whole group is traveling together, and me, I got to travel for most of the trip with him, but part of the trip, in order for me to go, involved me taking a bus, a public bus in Mexico, all by myself through night, through the heart of Mexico City and through some pretty rough areas. And I was like, yeah, that's cool. I don't care. Let's do it. And everybody was like, are you sure you want to do that? I was like, yeah, I mean, it's a bus. But Robert, like, he knew stuff about the world that I hadn't quite learned, and he looked at me as they put this 17-year-old kid on a bus to travel throughout Mexico by himself in the middle of the night. And since that time, I'd always impressed Robert. But you got to know, it's okay to put yourself in a deadly, risky situation. Now, some of you are not going to come across that type of risk, but it might risk your reputation. It might risk some of your free time. It might risk being uncomfortable. Like, that's what church planting is all about. Like, we make ourselves uncomfortable so that other people might find comfort in the gospel. But that's what the Christian life is all about. God said, go. We didn't wait for you guys in Missouri. You probably would have never made that drive. Right, that's a long ride. None of y'all coming out there to Missouri to visit us. But we came over here because God said, go. And I know that God has a go for you. Your go is not my go. What he can do with you, I can't do that, nor do I want to. But I believe that following the Holy Spirit, you can find it. And the story about Ananias, it's just powerful. And the last thing, number six, it says, if you want an extraordinary life, make time to do extra, an extraordinary life. A friend of mine, Jason, I'm going to call him out, we came to pray early on a Friday morning. Now, you got to understand, this is a proof that God is real. We both had this realization that this was evidence that God is real because we are both from Florida, and it was cold. Now, you don't know cold until you have been in a state that is always warm, and then you come out from that state. Like, where I'm from, if it's 60 degrees, you had on a ski coat and gloves, and everybody cranked the heat up, and I mean, like, that is ice cold. It's like 30 degrees colder than normal. It's uncomfortable. And so we got up early on a Friday to pray, and we're praying for you, we're praying for each other, we're praying for ourselves, we're praying for the city, we're praying for anything that we could pray for, and God is just there. And this came to me Friday. You know, if you want to be extraordinary, if you want to see God do great things, then just this little extra. Now, what do I mean by extra? It's not extra where you can earn God's love. It's not extra why you can prove yourself worthy, but it's that extra moment where I had a little extra money Monday. It would have been real easy for me to say, sorry, brother, can't help. Try somewhere else. It would have been real easy not to make that ride home after work. Maybe more convenient. But I just took the extra. I'm not bragging on myself. I'm just saying that's what it takes. It's in those little extra moments where you step out of faith and you do something a little bit different. Like that praying Friday morning, that was extra. You can live a successful life without praying. And successful, I mean, like, you could do well at work and business and have a family or whatever you define success at. But if you want to go with God, then we should probably pray. We should probably do that and be about those things. And so we're going to open up right now, just a chance. I'm going to invite the worship team to come up and do whatever it is they're going to do. As long as they don't fall in the hole, you are allowed to do whatever you guys want to do. And in your worship guide, or when you came in, you probably got a contact card. So if you are a visitor here today, we would love to hear from you on that contact card. We have some gentlemen that are going to come down now, and you guys can just come and start. Do that. If you want to give, feel no pressure to give. Ask the Lord about it. If he says to give, do it. If not, just wait till he does. Or don't. Okay, either way. But I want to give you guys a chance to go closer to the Lord. Because one of the things about this series that's been on my heart is that it's not just a mental assent to some truths. You know, like, if you just know some truth up here, that's good. But where you can experience it here. And so we're going to invite some prayer teams up here, and then we're going to create a little space, because some of you may not want to pray with somebody. You may just need to pray. And here's our thinking in this, and hear me out. Like, if you can't pray at church, I mean, I know we're in a theater, but just pretend with me for a second. This is church. Two or three are gathered in his name. If you can't pray in a church, where are you going to pray? I don't know your relationship with God or your closeness with the Holy Spirit. You may be 100% comfortable where you are, and that's okay. But you might be hungry for something more. You might be hungry for a closer walk with the Lord. So I'm going to invite everyone to stand now. You guys can stand, and worship team, you can just begin to play. And we're going to create a space up here where, if you would like prayer, or if you would just like a time with the Lord, we don't have to go anywhere right now. But maybe you want to just pray. There is room up here right now to come and pray.